history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And before I go back to the phone here, quick story. Up in Buena Vista, Michigan, the school district has gone completely broke and has had to let all the teachers go. So I guess it's a school holiday. Of course, it's only a few more weeks till summer vacation anyway. But back to the phones. We're going to go to Frank in Pennsylvania. Aloha, Frank. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Okay, Michael, thank you for taking my call. You know, I heard you talking about the War of 1812 and the banking system. There's a piece of information that people might not be aware of. The Prime Minister of England was called a man, Spencer Percival, and he was a very good man. He was a righteous man, and he was against going to war with the United States. He knew it was a banking war. And in May of 1812, he was assassinated, the only Prime Minister ever to be assassinated. And once he was assassinated, you can line up the dates, war was declared on the United States. So there were people even on the opposite side of the ocean that was against going to war, but it always seemed that they end their demise with either bullets or they were taken out of office somehow. And I'd just like you to give that piece of information.
That is an interesting piece of information. I'm going to add it to that article, All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. As I mentioned before, when Andrew Jackson succeeded in shutting down the Second Bank of the United States, there was an immediate assassination attempt on his life, which failed when both pistols used by the assassin malfunctioned. When Abraham Lincoln found himself going into having to deal with the secession of the Confederacy, the bankers were willing to finance his war at like 30% interest, and Lincoln said, I'm not going to enslave the white people to the banks to free the black people, so he exercised his authority as President of the United States, and he issued his own money, the greenback, and it worked so well that once the war was over, Lincoln said, we're going to keep on doing this, and of course then John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln, and as soon as Lincoln was dead, the greenbacks were taken out of circulation and destroyed. Then you had John F. Kennedy, who issued Executive Order 11110 that put a new U.S. government-issued currency, the United States note, into circulation, backed by the silver in that was in Fort Knox at the time, about $4.5 billion worth of currency floating through circulation on which interest was not accruing to the Federal Reserve. 5 months later, Kennedy was assassinated. The United States notes were taken out of circulation and almost all of them destroyed. There are still examples of them in collectors' hands right now. And on the Warren Commission sat John J. McCloy, president of the Chase Manhattan Bank, president of the World Bank, and I don't care how good a banker he is, he has no business being on a committee that's supposed to be investigating the murder of the president unless he was there to make sure the financial dimensions never surfaced.
Mike, you're absolutely right. It's out in plain sight. A high school student could connect the dots. Every time anybody got close, their demise was either met with bullets or they were taken out of office. And the last thing I can say is also Ronald Reagan in 1980 when he was campaigning. Remember, he was campaigning also against the Fed, and he wanted to reveal the Federal Reserve member banks. And he almost met his demise with an assassination attempt. So it seems anybody that was for changing our currency to the actual constitutional lawful money of gold and silver always met a horrible demise. But it also happened on the other side of the ocean. I appreciate you putting up that stuff about Spencer Percival. He was a righteous man. He was a good man. I have an autobiography that actually a biography that was wrote on him, and I believe that he knew exactly that we were going to get into another banker's war, and he was dead set against sending young men to die in another banker war.
All righty. Well, I will look that up, and it is an important thing to add to that, all wars are bankers' wars, because once you make that paradigm shift and understand these private central banks are willing to lie, cheat, steal, kill, and start wars to keep their scam going, then all of a sudden, all of American history makes a great deal more sense. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. When we come back, we've got another caller waiting on the line. We'll be right back.
What do you need? You need paracord. CampingSurvival.com is providing you U.S. military 550 paracord. 550 tensile strength. Military specifications. Made in the USA. Available in 3,000, 1,000, 600, 300, 150 links. You can purchase yours now at campingsurvival.com. Lowest prices on paracord. Huge selection. All ready to be shipped. Black paracord, 1,000 feet. Only $39.83 right now on campingsurvival.com. But wait, use the code FREEDOM when purchasing and save 5% off. Paracord is a unique material used for many different reasons. Get yours from campingsurvival.com now. Confidence born of preparation. campingsurvival.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
D-Boy lives in a cardboard box down by the Mission Bell, where saints refuse to go and the sinners wish him well. Forced to carry his own cross while we drive nails in his coffin. You might say it is routine, it happens far too often. Decorated soldier, veteran of the war, thought that he would be among the sick and poor. The preacher man wags his head while the rich man turns away. His mother looks on weeping, teardrops of blood are falling.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Bobby in California. Aloha, Bobby. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Listen, it's been a few minutes on this. I'm on hold here. Which is fine, but I'm a little confused here. I haven't heard you or anyone, unless I'm wrong, talk bad about the Jews.
Well, you're a newcomer to the show, aren't you? I mean, we don't talk. We're very critical of the actions of the Israeli government, and I routinely chastise the money junkies who spread across all races, religions, colors, and creeds. That's going to have to do. And if you need a show where somebody's going to be hitting your niche market, you need to go to some other network, I think.
Oh, okay. But I mean, are you against the Jew-hating talk, or are you for that?
I don't see much validity in it. It only fuels Israel's propaganda machine. I'd rather deal with the actions of individuals. I don't hold the world's Jewish people responsible for the actions of the government of Israel any more than I hold all of the American people responsible for the actions of CIA, any more than I hold all of the world's Muslims responsible for the actions of Al-Qaeda, whoever they ultimately turned out to be.
Well, so can I ask you, when it comes to the people who say the Jews are responsible for every war pretty much, and they influence all the media pretty much, and the bank, Do you agree with that? No, I don't.
I basically, again, I view it as part of Israel's propaganda, because Israel tries to defend its aggressions by confusing, blurring the line between the government of Israel and the world's Jewish people. And they're always saying,
then may I ask, if you don't agree with that, why are you on a Jew-hating network?
You know something? I think we're going to let you go here because you seem to be in here to try and push a propaganda point. And we're going to switch over to Tim in Texas. Aloha, Tim. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Yes, I just wanted to make a point and then ask a question. Now, obviously, all of this with the international bankers, they have a means to an end, which is, of course, a world government. They want to rule the whole world instead of just, you know, the country.
Most of it.
Right. Well, is it true? I've been reading William F. Jasper's book about how, you know, Kennedy signed the bill in 61 to disarm, and, you know, we're in like stage two right now. But anyway, is it true that when we disarm and our missiles and our military, is it true that we're actually just handing our missiles to the UN, or are we disarming and destroying our military weapons?
That is kind of a complex issue. Under various treaties, weapons, and we're talking mostly about the strategic weapons. I'll give you a good example. When the SALT Treaty was ratified, it placed a limit on how many of these nuclear ballistic missile-capable submarines the U.S. Navy was allowed to have. And so what they did is they took some of the older submarines. They did not destroy them. They did not scrap them. They did not give them away or sell them. All they did was change the armament. They took out the nuclear ballistic missiles, and they put in these multi-cell Tomahawk missile launchers. And they renamed these the Arsenal ships. And they're technically not nuclear ballistic missile submarines, but they're still out there and still being used. And, of course, in a crunch, those Tomahawk land attack missiles can be given nuclear warheads. So everybody sort of, like, fudges the requirements on these various treaty requirements. The U.S. government obviously will get rid of old systems that are too expensive to maintain and not effective. One of the common tricks they like to do is buy a whole bunch of military hardware that sits there doing absolutely nothing. It's essentially brand new. The Congress will then declare it surplus, and it gets sold to Israel for pennies on the dollar. It's another way that our government is basically shoveling your money covertly at Israel. As far as the UN taking direct military control of U.S. Weapons systems, I don't see that happening. Control tends to be passed more toward NATO. And, of course, we are now very alarmed by the fact that Israel is now directly in the command and control link for America's nuclear arsenal as well.
Okay, NATO. I'm kind of confused the difference. Isn't NATO the military force of UN?
Actually, NATO was originally started as a separate organization, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. It was sort of basically to deal with the post-World War II environment of the war between the West and the then Soviet Union, and so its scope was limited. The United Nations was founded to basically try and be a peacekeeper around the entire globe everywhere. NATO, administratively, if you will, is a subset. But NATO has gone more to the military enforcement direction, while the United Nations, at least nominally, tries to maintain the image of being a discussion and negotiating and peacekeeping body. And most times when the United Nations sends peacekeepers into other countries, they are basically soldiers loaned to them either from NATO or the United States, and they just change the patches on the uniform and go in and do whatever they're supposed to do.
Right. Well, obviously, I believe their end game is the UN. I mean, the whole reason the UN was started was, yes, to appear to be for peace, but, I mean, really to incrementally and slowly hand over our sovereignty. But I believe the end game of the UN and the people behind it is to slowly and incrementally weaken our military and our, you know, ballistic, our weapons, and give it to them to where when we finally see and come to light, you know, what's going on, we're going to be too weak to even fight back against them. That's probably the end game, isn't it?
I think the United Nations and the United States understand that an actual military conflict between the two, first of all, the UN's main building is right there in New York City, and one missile strike and it's gone. There is no question that the United Nations is pushing for a global government. There is no question that the United States sees it as the UN's primary enforcer for that eventual global government. And I think they're more partners in this plan than opponents.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it. And we're just going to switch over to Chuck in Texas. Aloha, Chuck. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I wanted to get your opinion on Jan Brewer and this militia that she's supposedly setting up in Arizona. This is the same woman who just vetoed the silver for being legal currency, and she has not been any kind of constitutionalist. I think the Arizonans are being set up. I would no more put my name on her list than I would Homeland Security's voluntarily, although I'm sure I'm there already. What do you think? Is she legitimate?
Yeah, the instant you called this show, you went on the list over at the Department of Homeland Security. I agree with you, and I was going to get into this a little bit later, but this Adam Kokesh stunt for the 4th of July is getting a lot of corporate media coverage. He was apparently on CBS in Washington, D.C. talking about this, and again, it's telegraphing. This is a setup. The United States federal government is preparing to go to war against the 50 states. In the court of world opinion, the side that starts shooting first will lose. The federal government is desperate for there to be some kind of a violent uprising among the American people that they can crush down with all of this hollow point ammunition and armored vehicles and drones and everything else they've been spending your money on for the last several years. And if they can't provoke the American people into a genuine act of rebellion, they're just going to set one up. And I think this Adam Kokesh stunt in D.C. is plan A. And I think Jan Brewer's militia may be a plan B, where the U.S. government, the federal government, is trying to force a confrontation. And if they can get into an armed, violent confrontation, unfortunately, the federal government's going to win that one. And that's why I keep saying, do not initiate violence against the government. Prudence demands you be prepared to defend yourself and your home and your family when the government initiates violence against you. But at this point, I still think they can't hold this Ponzi scheme economy together much longer. And that's why they're so desperate to start all these wars and desperate to try and get rid of the Constitution. Because if the economy collapses and they don't have somebody to blame it on, we, the American people, are going to point the finger of blame at the author of all of this misery for the last century, the Federal Reserve System.
I would suggest that people in Arizona not put their name on Jan Brewer's list. She is.
I would agree. I would agree.
All right, buddy. Great show.
All right. I don't know why Jan Brewer needs a militia, because technically every state is entitled to have their own National Guard, which is answerable to the governor. And I know during the Los Angeles riots, Operation Garden Plot and Cable Splice, part of the agenda was to federalize the National Guard and place them under Washington, D.C.'s control. But a state governor at any point can go to the commander of the National Guard and say, you answer to me now. And if that commander refuses, well, you just fire them right then and there and look at the subordinate and say, are you going to take orders from me? And the first one that says yes gets that top job. So I don't know why Jan Brewer is setting up this whole new militia thing. And remember, in the 1990s, all of these militias that were being set up across the country did turn out to be government operations. And they would get a bunch of guys together with guns and go out in the woods and play at being soldier. And then the FBI informant that set them up would get them to do an act of violence so that the media could say, oh, these darn patriots and militias, they're a danger. And, of course, we saw a lot of that propaganda associated with the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City. The government needs enemies to scare you with, even if they have to create those enemies themselves, which seems to be 99% of the time. All righty, the phone lines are clear. We're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking a little bit more about the economy and how the biggest bank robber in the world is the bank. We'll be right back.
The five self-evident truths of the Declaration of Independence are the standing definition of our republican form of government. Each unalienable right has an attached duty because we are all created equal. Like the right, the duty is permanent and non-transferable. There can be no paper to lien the right and no paper to waive the duty. Deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed does not mean if you can think of it, you can consent to it. Truly, it names a condition where a right must be held without violation of its duty by both parties who can then consent. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan. Innovative research and development of prototype industrial equipment since 1988.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne. Glucosamine Chondroitin. Sea Cucumber. Colloidal Minerals. Superfam and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer. Our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit HerbalHealer.com today. HerbalHealer.com. That's HerbalHealer.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendivite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendivite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendivite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility. Provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We got some callers on the line right now. Tom in Minnesota. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello. Excuse me. Find my voice there. Where you're talking about the National Guard being under the governor. Our Minnesota governor, Rudy Perpich, back when they were sending our troops to South America to build roads, they were getting shot at. He didn't like that, said they couldn't do that. When Perpich versus the Department of Defense, he took it to the United States Supreme Court, and they said that the Congress of the United States may authorize members of the National Guard of the United States to be ordered to active federal duty for purposes of training outside the United States without either the consent of a state governor or the declaration of a national emergency. So in essence, what they're saying, and same as you look at the National Guard going to Iraq and Afghanistan, they're mm-hmm. regular army. And
certainly the way the federal government treats them. But again, the National Guard was originally intended to be the army of the separate states' governors, and I think the governors need to reassert that. It's all going to come down to when we see Washington, D.C. launch their war against the independent states. It's going to come down to what the commanders of those state guards, which side they're going to come down on, and the governor's going to have to make some choices. Unfortunately, sadly, too many of our state governors see their position as merely a stepping stone to making the big promotion to Washington, D.C. And as we look at all the history of the ways our system of government was changed very subtly, originally senators were supposed to be appointed by the state government. That gave the state government tremendous influence in setting national policy. But when the senators were broken free and made elected offices, it basically, that was a major time where the state governments lost a great deal of their influence over Washington, D.C. You should go back and look at some of those amendments that were passed right after the end of the Civil War, where the states were... Well, I was thinking more along the one about that said that the validity of the national government debt may never be questioned. And that's such a bizarre idea that we, the people and the states of this country, can't question why the federal government is borrowing all this money and sticking us with the payments. And that was probably one of the biggest blows against the freedom and independence of the American people that, that we saw come down the line. And again, it was from the bankers. Because once the bankers said, hey, the federal government doesn't have to answer to the people in the states for money they borrow, they're going to start borrowing more money and we'll make more profit.
Yep, and what's interesting, too, the Minnesota Constitution says that except in time of war or insurrection or emergency or something, there can be no standing army in the state of Minnesota. So we have a National Guard basis here. If they're technically under the president, according to the Minnesota Constitution, they shouldn't be allowed to be in the state of Minnesota.
Well, unfortunately, the federal government, first of all, the federal government isn't even following its own constitution and has zero respect for the constitutions of the states at this point.
Right. Also, it's interesting, the Minnesota Constitution has a, I forget the difference there, fee simple and the loyal titles, the one where you actually own the land. The Minnesota Constitution actually says that we own our property and it's not fee simple. I believe it's a loyal. And again, that's ignored too.
Well, you know, we're coming up on this crisis and we're seeing it start with Kansas and all these states that are passing laws to block further federal gun laws, to block NDAA, to block Obamacare. And we're coming up to a crisis where the federal government is going to say, look, you do what we tell you to do or we will send the army into your state. They're looking for a reason to literally declare war on the 50 states. And that's just that's where they're headed right now. Thank you very much for the call, Tom. We're going to switch over to Zach in Maryland. Aloha, Zach. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to comment about the National Guard. And my brother was a full-time National Guard here in Maryland back in the 80s and into the 90s. And the National Guards, the 50 National Guards of all the different states, are actually federal agencies. And during peacetime, they are given, the control of them are given to the governors of each state. But they are part of the Army and the Air National Guards are part of the Air Force, and they can be taken away for federal duty at any time for any reason by the, for federal service. Now, what happened was up to the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt, there was no such thing as a National Guard. They were called the state militia.
Yes.
And control was transferred through, you know, some kind of finagling, the way they do it. But I know control was transferred from the states, and the funding was transferred.
That actually happened in the run-up to World War One, and I know this because this is family history. My grandfather had been part of what was then called the New Hampshire State Guard, and they became the first unit mobilized for the Yankee Division of World War One. And control was passed from the governor of New Hampshire to the War Department. And but then after the war, these state guards were supposed to go back to the states, and it stayed that way until the Rodney King riots, which is when supposedly permanent control of the state guards was transferred to the federal government. And that was just another way of weakening the state governments and taking away their ability to defend themselves against federal encroachment. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. Thank you for the call, Zach, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Call me U.S. Steel, 21st Century Fox soundbite. Who gives a damn what's true or false, long as it leans to the right. Add a token liberal, pretend I'm fair, a bimbo for some sex appeal. I'm busy oiling up the corporation wheel, and they call me.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to talk a little bit more about the economy. And the reality is, despite all of the corporate media pronouncements and Obama's new statement that we're on the verge of progress, the reality is that when you have a nation that is enslaved to a private central bank issuing all of the public currency as a loan at interest, debt always grows faster than the available money supply, and it is never any other way. And at this point, the United States government is hopelessly in debt. They can't even make the interest payments. The U.S. government right now is having to borrow 46 cents of every dollar it is spending on these wars, on Israel, on the Department of Homeland Security, on the TSA, on the FBI, on fusion centers, on crotch gropers at the airport. And they're being kited along by the Federal Reserve that is simply creating currency out of thin air, most of which is going to Wall Street, so we're not quite seeing the hyperinflationary effects that typified Weimar Germany. The Weimar Republic in Germany, and what we have here down in Zimbabwe, where people are walking around with notes that say $100 trillion. but it has to start hitting eventually. And Wall Street simply using all this instantly created money to play games with the stock market. Supply and demand, run it up in value, sell it out, put money in their pocket. They're reaping huge personal fortunes for which nothing of any value is returned to the economy or our nation as a whole. They're just gaming the system. And the banks are now robbing their own depositors. We saw that in Cyprus. They're clearly getting ready to do that in Canada. When they reach that point where the banks can only be kept solvent by literally stealing the money of their own depositors, you know it's on the edge of collapse. And this is the reason the federal government is desperate to get a world war going or desperate to get some kind of a violent uprising in the United States with which they can suspend the Constitution, declare a national emergency, and martial law. Because everybody inside Washington, D.C. and everybody on Wall Street knows if the economy implodes first, 330 million Americans are going to stand up and they're going to point the finger of blame exactly where that finger of blame deserves to be. Private central banking issuing the public currency as a loan at interest. The public currency not as a public utility, but as just another private money-making venture. We're going to grab another phone call here. Richard in Texas. Aloha, Richard. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, Mr. Rivera. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Mr. Rivera, I'd like to ask you regarding the banking. Why are you on a Jew-hating network?
Oh, come on. Let's drop this guy. Boy, you know something? Somebody is really getting scared. We got two of these calling in with this, oh, you're just a bunch of Jew haters. Doesn't that tell you how scared they all are? We've been having DOS attacks on our server all week long. Man, these guys might as well put a flashing neon sign on their forehead saying it's all coming apart and we don't know how to stop it. So we're just going to start screaming Jew hater at everybody. That's what these calls mean. They're losing it. They're losing control of the narrative. The American people, the people of the world, are waking up to this private central banking scam. And they don't know how to stop it. They don't know how to put us all back to sleep. That's why we're getting all these phone calls, guys calling us, oh, you're a bunch of Jew haters, you're a bunch of anti-Semites, Hitler, 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 Nazi, Nazi, Nazi. They're afraid. They're afraid that you are awake. That you see what is the real cause of America's history of war going back 200 years. And it all goes back to the money junkies. And the money junkies are very upset about that. They don't want you knowing it's all they're doing for profit. They want you to go on believing the Muslims hate us for our freedoms. They want you to go on believing all these little fairy tales that they have been feeding you every day of your life to obfuscate what's really driving world events, the greed of the money junkies. And history has shown these money junkies have no morals, no ethics. They're quite inhuman in their greed, like any other addict. We've all seen people who are addicted to alcohol or cocaine or heroin or meth or whatever else is out there. And they reach a point where the need to feed that addiction is so great, they don't care how they harm their families around them or their communities around them or the world around them. And the money addicts are no different. As long as they get a big pile of wealth to roll around on and have orgasms, as long as they've got $100,000 wristwatches on their hands and drive $3 million cars, they don't care what happens to the rest of the world. And I'll tell you why that's a built into the system. We know that over time under private central banking, the amount of currency available to the general public gets smaller and smaller and smaller, even as the debt continues to grow, because more of the newly created money is simply immediately absorbed by the bankers to pay the interest on the old money. And less actually gets into the popular commerce. And that's why jobs vanish and homes vanish. And when you get to that state, it doesn't matter how hard you're willing to work. There are no jobs, and you will be homeless and hungry. It is an inevitable aspect of this model of national economics. And the people who are profiting from this system don't care that their system of banking creates hunger and homelessness. It's just a cost of doing business. It's not their problem. And if they have to settle the books by going to war, they have cheerfully done it before. War of 1812, Civil War, World War I, World War II, now heading into World War III to just prop up that ink and paper. These money junkies will gladly send hundreds of millions of human beings to painful death and dismemberment, and it's just a cost of doing business to keep this scam going a little bit longer. And now you know that's what the scam has been. And now they know you know, which is why we're getting these bogus phone calls screaming, oh, you're just a Jew hater. Did I mention Hitler? If I didn't, Hitler. They're afraid. That's what these phone calls are telling us. They're in a panic. All the old tricks and illusions that worked to keep them in wealth and power and to keep you blinded don't work anymore. The world has changed around them, and they don't know what to do about it. This attack on Stephen Hawking has backflashed on them. Now Israel's seen as a bully, not just against its neighboring nations, not just against the Palestinians, but now they're bullying a guy in a wheelchair. Going to go to the phones here. Danny in South Carolina, and I hope you're not calling in to talk about Hitler and the Nazis or something like that.
Oh, heavens, no.
Good.
I was just here to call your attention to an article in Haaretz that came out, I think, recently. Apparently on Tuesday, the World Jewish Congress approved a resolution that calls on countries around the world, quote, particular those whose Jewish populations were decimated in the Shoah, to outlaw public denial of the Holocaust, and so on and so forth. Now, years ago, I saw similar activity going on, talking about 15, 20 years ago, with the OSCE, with the ODIHR. These are all UN nations,
yes.
UN departments.
Yes.
And I saw this publication called A Report to Congress. It was the new anti-Semitism. And I read that, and I looked at it, and I said, this is crazy. But now today I see that they just passed a resolution in Australia.
Yes.
Basically acknowledging what they call the London Declaration. Is that it?
And basically what they're trying to do is they're aware that modern science and technology has caught up with the propaganda which was used to justify stealing Israel from the Palestinians and handing it to these descendants of Central Asian Khazars.
I mean, it's so obviously over the rainbow. I mean, they've lost their cockles. I mean, they've gone nuts, in my humble opinion.
They have, and it's more than just this scream to criminalize Holocaust denial around the world. First of all, everybody's looking at that and saying this makes it obvious they're trying to hide something. Okay, because people who see Bigfoot don't have their careers ruined. People who claim to take a ride in a UFO, they aren't thrown in prison. But in this area, and it is so so contradictory to the First Amendment, freedom of expression and inquiry and thought, to just have these kind of laws, it's very obvious. They're scared. This lie is collapsing. And over and above this call for criminalizing questioning of the Orthodox account of the Holocaust, now they're trying to say that anybody who doubts the official story of the Holocaust is mentally ill and needs treatment. And it's not just the Holocaust. Obama's administration has now come out saying anybody doubting the dogma of global warming, they're crazy. They need mental treatment. Now they're talking about 9/11 denial.
Michael, I looked at the State Department phone book, which is available on the Internet. Just Google.
Yes.
And did you know we have a Holocaust Department in the State Department?
I'm not surprised. I am absolutely not surprised.
All you do is punch it in, and there it is.
I'm not even interested in finding that here. Listen, Danny, let me let you go here because I got about 6 minutes to go here. I got to close out some stuff here. For before Claire gets up here at the top of the show. And I just want to explain something. Everybody says, well, you know, why, if the Holocaust did not really happen as Hollywood has shown it to us, why did they even bother? And the reason is very simple. At the end of World War II, the Zionists wanted to simply take Palestine for their own, away from the Palestinian people. But the entire world had just united against Germany on the principle that one people do not have a right to simply march into another people's home and take it for their own. It was wrong for Hitler to do that to Poland. It was wrong for Hitler to do that to France, to Austria, to all the other countries. And everybody said, yes, it's wrong when this gets done. And the Zionists needed a propaganda device so powerful that all the nations that sacrificed blood and treasure to tell Germany they could not just steal Poland for their own use would turn around and say, well, I guess we have to let the Zionists steal Palestine. And that was when slave labor camps were rebranded as extermination centers, delousing became gassing, and this whole horror story was cranked up and spoon-fed to you nonstop. So that we, the people of the world, who had justly condemned Germany for stealing other people's lands, would turn around and say, oh, it's okay for the Zionists to do it to Palestine. That was the reason for this huge propaganda campaign. And now it's starting to fall apart. This is the reason why Israel and their minions around the world will just slam down on anybody questioning this story. Because if it is exposed as a gigantic propaganda hoax, and it already is, let's be honest, then Israel's entire justification for displacing the Palestinian people just evaporates. And they're out there screaming, oh, the Bible says we have a divine right to these lands. Actually, the Bible says that the descendants of the 12 tribes that followed Moses out of Egypt have a claim to that land, although God later on took it away because they were sinners. The Bible doesn't mention anything about the descendants of converted Khazars in Central Asia having any claim to that land. And so it's just grown into this huge thing, and Israel basically has this attitude that the world still operates the way it did back during the days of the Old Testament. And they've gone in and taken land that belongs to other people. And it's not really theirs. And they've tried to rewrite history. They've been caught faking the archaeology to try and cement their claim to the land. And it's all a gigantic propaganda fraud. And over time, it's gotten more and more extreme, and it's starting to fall apart. Even the plaque at the front of Auschwitz had to revise downward by 2.5 million, the total number of people who died of all causes in Auschwitz, including the typhus epidemics. Now we know that that big crematorium at Auschwitz that we were all told the Germans built it to conceal the bodies and everything was actually built after the war was over by the Russians to deal with the typhus epidemic. We know that the soap really wasn't made from humans. The lampshades were made of goat skin. Science has caught up with it. Time makes ancient truth uncouth. And this is why they're panicking and they're trying to pass laws saying that you can't even ask a question about the Holocaust without being thrown in jail. Why we have these very obvious pro-Israel shills calling the show and screaming, oh, you're a bunch of Jew haters. It's all coming apart on them. And they don't know what to do. All right, going to grab a couple quick phone calls here. Peter in Nevada, aloha. Peter, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael, Los Angeles. But listen, I just wanted to chime in on one thing with the...
Nevada's a nice state. You might want to think about moving.
I am thinking about it. But Michael, you're talking about attacking a guy in a wheelchair. I want to remind the audience that back in the 80s, there was a terrorist incident where terrorists hijacked the Achille Lauro, remember? And an elderly Jewish gentleman named Leon Klinghoffer, in a wheelchair, was thrown overboard by this terrorist. And the terrorist was a guy named Abu Nidal,
who turned out to be working for Mossad.
And he turned out to be working. He was a Mossad agent. It was all a Mossad operation. And they're there killing their own people in order to make points, just as they did with the Entebbe thing and Levon affair and everything else. These people will stop at nothing. And who's the anti-Semite people? The people throwing, you know, an elderly Jewish guy off a boat in a wheelchair? That was the Mossad. That's all I wanted to say, Mike.
Yeah, the Mossad is called a false flag. And remember the motto of the Mossad, by way of deception, thou shalt conquer. Their entire philosophy is to fool you and trick you into going along with whatever they want. Peter was commenting on a story. British intelligence finally released documentation a few years ago that proved Israel itself set up the hijacking that led to the raid on Entebbe. The agenda to make Palestinians look bad to the entire world so the world would go on thinking it's okay for the Zionists to steal Palestinian land. And they've been playing this game for 60 years, and it's worn out. And that's why they're panicking over Stephen Hawking. That's why they're calling this show and screaming Jew-hater. That's why they're trying to get laws passed around the world that nobody can dare question the propaganda without being thrown in jail. Why they're even trying to say that anybody who questions the Holocaust, they're mentally ill. You got to lock them up. They're panicking. You can smell the panic in the air. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are living in dangerous days, and I am frightened by what you say. It chills right to the core, this talk of holy war.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And one of the listeners just sent me the link to the U.S. Department of State's Office of Holocaust Issues. In other words, the U.S. government is spending your tax money to promote the orthodox official version of the Holocaust onto you and your children. You will believe what we tell you to believe. You will not question. blah, 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 blah. Now, one more thing before we go back to the phones here. This idea of trying to criminalize asking questions about what happened in World War II is about as un-American as you can get. The whole purpose of the First Amendment, right to freedom of speech, is so that two parties can get up and have a discussion. And this guy over here can say, chocolate ice cream is the best, and here are the reasons why. And the other guy can say, no, 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 pistachio ice cream is better, and here are the reasons why. And you go back and forth, and people decide for themselves who are listening to the debate. That's what freedom of speech and expression is supposed to be about. When you have somebody passing a law saying that you will not question whether pistachio ice cream is the best in the world, it's because they know that in a real debate between chocolate and pistachio, pistachio isn't going to win that argument. And this push to criminalize Holocaust questioning around the world is basically an admission that they understand it will not survive a careful examination of the claims. Truth needs no law to support it. Truth is unafraid of questioning. Truth survives re-examination. Throughout history, from Galileo to Zundel, only lies and liars have resorted to the courts to enforce adherence to official revealed dogma. We're going to go back to the phones here. Jim in Georgia, aloha. Jim, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. This is a bill that's in the House of the Senate. I'm not sure. It's about working overtime and getting credit for the hours, not getting paid, and take the time off later. I've done that, and I got screwed out of a 219 hours years ago, okay? But anybody that does that, I had another friend of mine that worked, and the company went bankrupt, and he got screwed. So people, do not work off the clock. Do not take the credit for the hours. Get the overtime, the time and a half, because that's what the Republicans want to pass right now in the Senate of their House. I'm not sure. And what I'm glad about is Obama is against it, and he's going to veto it, so.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean, he's still playing politics, especially with this Benghazi situation unraveling. As bad as it is, he's going to need to make some points with the American people. Because now it's apparently come out. The White House was involved in changing and editing all of the testimony that's been offered by these so-called independent witnesses. So, remember what Richard Nixon said about Watergate? It wasn't the break-in that was the problem, it was the cover-up. And now they got proof of a cover-up. So this thing is getting legs, and the corporate media is having to pay attention to it. And I imagine Obama is going to look for any opportunity he can ingratiate himself to the American people, and we should milk that for anything we can get from him. But,
Jerusalem would love to take the whole Mediterranean shoreline all the way up as far as they possibly could, but they don't.
Oh, they're already doing it. They're redrawing the maps to say they've got all of Lebanon's gas fields and everything. We'll be right back after station identification with the lovely Lady Claire.